with praise, come into his courts with thanksgiving. And the thing that has astounded me is that over the years, hearing those passages, when we feel sadness, we forget about the gladness. And we should be celebrating the gladness of servants who have done amazingly well. Because God, his angels, and all of glory will be celebrating his people. So should we. Thanks, Dad.
This morning, because it's only 10 minutes long. There's a reason for that, and in order to flesh out the sermon, I'll tell you about it. So about 2 months ago, there we were, and elders, we decided to do 1 Peter, which we're working through now, and the dates were there, and the titles, the messages were there. I thought, July, what is it, 21 or something like that, today, work, because it's 2 weeks after the school holidays, and that would give me a bit of time to prepare, and I also thought that the topic, suffering in the midst of whatever it is, persecution, suffering, would be good to explore. And that night, I went home, and I wrote out the sermon. It's just like, boom, there it is. This is so unlike me, because I'm actually not usually prepared. But I thought I've got 2 months to relax. So I get to the school holidays. We're heading down to Fomata with the Grandies and that. They're all going to meet us there. And I can't find the sermon. Anywhere I go. So I thought, that's okay. Two weeks, fine. So what it looks like in when you've got 5 grandchildren is that they've got a little clock in their room, and it's blue. But when it turns yellow, they're allowed to get up. So at 7 o'clock, I get 5 in bed with me right away, and they're all there. And the day starts like that and ends like that. There's games there, and then we go to breakfast, and then it's just continuous. So needless to say, after 2 weeks, no school. So I get back on the Wednesday, and I'm sitting down, thinking I've got to get this sermon down, and start writing. And just because I've got time, since 10 minutes long, I'll tell you what I started. Matthew 11, find rest for your souls. Not for our bodies, but all Christian toil flows from fellowship with the living Christ, whose transcending, defining reality is gentle and lowly. He astounds us with his endless kindness. Only as we walk ever deeper into this tender kindness can we live a Christian life, as the New Testament calls us to. Only as we drink down the kindness of the heart of Christ will we leave in our wake, everywhere we go, the aroma of heaven. And die one day having startled the world with glimpses of a divine kindness, too great to be boxed in by what we deserve. I read it out to Tracy, said, how are you going? I said, read it out. She said, no! You can't talk about that. That's who preached? So I go, okay. So that hit the floor. And then I look at my text and it's Bridget. She says, how's your sermon going? So I said, well, had a few setbacks, but I think I'm onto it. So we'll get into it shortly. I've got time because I'll tell you one little thing, funny story. There we were, spent the whole week with them. We got 3 on our own. We decided to go to Palmyra for the day, and we're just about there. Eden, she's 5. She was 4 at the time. And she says to me, Papa, and she just led straight into a towel, a blanket, because she wasn't feeling well. So she had a blanket there to keep warm, and she slipped straight into it. And I'm like, okay. And then Eden goes, boy, that smells. let's just pray, Father God. We bless you. We bless your Son, Jesus, who did amazing things for us and saved us. We praise you and bless you, and for your Spirit, who through Peter has given us this word. We pray that it will bless us this morning as it's blessed generations. Amen. So the scripture, I have it up, and I'll just go through it and make a few notes and a few comments on it. Dear friends, I warn you, as temporary residents and foreigners, to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Matthew 11, find rest for your souls. It's not a guarantee to find rest for your bodies. Remember, the war is waged for our souls. But all Christian toils flow from the fellowship of the living Christ. See, I used some of that. So not all of it was bad. God went to great lengths to have to bring us back to himself. And I was wondering. I'll tell you another story. Ezra's three, and I was on FaceTime with them a couple of days ago, and he says, Papa, did you know that there's a man, and he found a treasure in a field? And I go, yeah. And he goes, yeah, he went and bought the field so he could get this treasure. I said, that's a cool story. It's actually called the Pearl of Great Price. And so I'm thinking about this, and I'm thinking about the redemptive side of what God in Christ did specifically for us. And I'm thinking about that. Imagine that prize is available to all of us. And we've got a ticket, a free ticket to it. And all we have to do is redeem it. It's no good just keeping the ticket. We've actually got to cash it in. And that's what Christ did for us when he came to us. So I have this. For anybody ready that can give me quote scripture, and I'll take it first hand. It's John 3:16. Okay, careful. But whosoever should believe in him should not perish. So be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Why? Because they're watching. But more importantly, so is God. So a couple of days ago, we've got there was we caught a guy stealing cameras. He was our bargain, and the chef actually decided to go home. We had left him to close up because we were starting to trust this guy. And he looks at the cameras and he sees him put $200 in his back pocket. And this guy, unfortunately, this guy is a self-confessed Christian. He wears a cross about that big on the outside of his shirt all the time. Part of the reason we trusted him. But he's a nice guy. He really is a nice guy. But he had, obviously, a momentary lapse of reason. So, yeah. It's really important that we live our lives because people are watching, and so is God.
And so
he cares. Pardon me? Then, even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior, and they will give honor to God when he judges the world. This is a fantastic and tragic reality. If and when we are persecuted or unjustly treated, we have to reconcile the fact that we may have to wait till Christ's return and God's final judgment to be exonerated and justified. Can we wait? Will we wait? For the Lord's sake, commit to all human authority, whether the king as head of state or the officials he has appointed. For the king has sent them to punish those who do wrong and to honor those who do right. It is God's will that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. For you are free, yet you are God's slaves. So don't use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. This is a tricky passage to get your head around, especially in the times we live in. I recently watched the evil regime of the Nazis in the Second World War, and there was, in one episode there was a guy who was second in command to Himmler himself in his secret service, evil dude. And he was actually the mastermind of the concentration camps, because he just went the next step further. They hadn't organized the extermination program, so he went, oh, we can do this. And he signed off and off he went. Anyway, he was assassinated in the Czech Republic, and he, as a consequence, the Nazis rounded up 800 men, women, and children from two villages, and they got them to dig a big trench, and they just lined them up and shot them, and they fell into it, and they covered it up. The current problems in the Ukraine and the Middle East are also perpetrated by heads of state. Devastating effects on people who, you know, you've got to assume some are righteous. Some are evil. Most of them probably just living their best lives. But they may have to wait for eternity to get justice. The results just seem so random. And this is the world we live in as well. So it's this importance of, you know, living a good life. Because you never know when it's going to be taken away from you. Respect everyone and love the family of believers. Fear God and respect the king. The fear of God is the genesis of wisdom. A healthy fear of God protects us from sin. It compels us to love better, love our enemies better, love our neighbors better, love our friends better, love our friends and family, our husbands and our wives better, and ultimately to love our Lord better. Unfortunately, Christian marriages aren't faring any better than those in the world. And this is a sad indictment. I think we need to smarten up. You who are slaves must submit to your masters with all respect. Do what they tell you, not only if they are kind and reasonable, but even if they are cruel. For God is pleased when, conscious of his will, you patiently endure. Unjust treatment. Of course, you get no credit for being patient if you are. If you get beaten for doing wrong. But if you suffer for doing good and endure it patiently, God is pleased with you. So, I'm thinking that if we see ourselves as God's slaves, and we are respecting each other through humility and kindness, then we can relax when persecution and even calamity befalls us. It is difficult to see ourselves as God's slaves, but how about being crucified with Christ? In Galatians 2:20 tells us that we should see ourselves as having been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer us that live, but Christ that lives in and through us. And the life we now live, we live because he loved us and he gave himself up for us. And when I went to Cambodia, it was the 5th anniversary, and they made shirts for everyone, and on it it said, "To live as Christ, to die as gain." And I thought, that's pretty harsh, pretty out there. But it's true. Someone once told me that they couldn't sign up for Christianity because they don't like the church's stance on homosexuality. That's like saying I couldn't sign up for Christianity because I like wine too much. Sin is sin. And we're saved by grace. We're all saved by grace. We're all sinners. It's almost like, you know, you get on a plane and you know there's a bomb on it. But all your friends and family are there, so you're going to get on it. Who does that? Who would do it? Scripture tells us to pray constantly, which is hard to do when you're eating. Watching rugby or golf, sleeping. But if our passion for people and friends and family is strong enough, we'll definitely pray a lot more. For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering. Just as Christ suffered for you, he is your example, and you must follow his steps. It's not a suggestion. Another scripture might help is in 2 Corinthians 10. Subject every thought and make it obedient to the authority of Christ. This halts us in our tracks and initiates a radical response. I'd like to think in most cases, especially when we're treated unjustly. So what does it mean to sign up to this Christian life? Christ himself was born out of wedlock, was a refugee as a child, mocked by his neighbors and members of his own family growing up, was ridiculed, persecuted most of his life, and finally murdered. It's a good job he had a strong, healthy self-esteem for who he really was. And it's no wonder he prayed a lot. He never sinned, nor ever deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. This is the kind of life he calls us to. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds we are healed. Once we were like sheep and wandered away. But now we have turned to the shepherd, the guardian of our souls. In summary, one, the importance of living a good life. Two, submitting to the authority of God. Three, using freedom responsibly. Four, showing respect for people through love, kindness, and humility. I was talking to Catherine just before, and I was thinking, we were talking about kindness and humility, and I said, well, I forget the question, but I said, well, taking offense. I think whenever we have a conversation or we're dealing with people, we get confronted with options, you know, how to respond, and our default has got to be probably kindness and humility. Because if we take offense, and quite often we're justified in taking offense, it's the bait of Satan. It's his toe in the door. And it can lead us down a very dark, dark tunnel. And I don't know about you, but I hate apologizing, even to God. And so I kind of try to stay away from actually doing something that I know I have to apologize for. You know, like, time in there. And the Holy Spirit, nasty sometimes, because one day you love it, and you kind of think, it's just, I've said something or reacted badly, and then suddenly I've got to go and make amends, apologize, and stuff. So that's really good, kindness and humility. Loving fellow believers, that was number 5. 6, fearing God. 7, honoring those in authority, even if you don't agree with their politics. The overall theme is that our behavior and attitude should be a witness to the world and bring glory to God. Amen. I'm sure Bridget's going to come up. Musicians will probably come up as well and wrap it up. But I think we should sing happy birthday to Johnny. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.